Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, we'll read the entire chapter, and we're just going to take a thought on the sin of laziness this evening. The sin of laziness. The Bible says in verse 1, says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." Verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction or the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals with his and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be in your house. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, the instructions that we find in the Proverbs, Lord, and this evening, Lord, in these chapter after chapter, Lord, the warnings that goes out as Solomon gives those warnings to his son, Lord, those same warnings that goes out to us this evening. Lord, realize there's nothing new under the sun. Lord, these same situations, these same problems, Lord, that we encounter in the Proverbs as Solomon penned these to his son, Lord, apply to us today. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us for just a little bit as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, as we turn our thoughts toward the sin of laziness, Lord, I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit this evening. Lord, you know what each and every one stands in need of, and I pray that your will would ever be done. Lord, I pray for that one who may be listening or watching by the way of the webcast, that may be lost, discouraged, Lord, whatever the need might be, I pray that you'll speak to that heart. That one who may be here lost and don't know he's their Savior, Lord, are discouraged, Lord, I pray, God, that they would be encouraged this evening. Lord, we thank you again for your house, Lord, that we can come to on a Wednesday evening. Lord, even though we're few in number, Lord, I'm glad that we can come and encourage one another to go on and to serve you and to live for you. Lord, you said in your word, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. And surely we're living in that day of the approaching of the coming of the Son of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now for just a little bit. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Forgive me of our sins, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be yielded to you this evening. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. There in verse 6, the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider ways and be wise. The Bible says a lot about laziness, and it admonishes us against being lazy. And you know, I've tried to never be lazy, and I've tried to be busy, and I don't want to be called lazy. There ain't nothing worse than a lazy person that won't work and won't do nothing. But the first part of this chapter, I'll just mention a little bit there in the first two verses. It said, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. What he's talking about here is signing a note or being surety, standing good for someone. And I thought about that this afternoon. I just wanted to mention that a little bit. Way back yonder years ago, I signed a note for a young man to buy a truck. And he bought the truck from me, and I thought I could help him to get him a ride where he'd have a way to go, and he paid on it for a while. But eventually, I ended up having to go get that truck and pay it off. And I learned my lesson. And maybe if I'd have read the Proverbs and let it stuck in my heart before that time, maybe I wouldn't have got into that mess. And he goes on and says, if you've done that, he said, then make haste and do all you can, put forth all your effort to get out of that situation. And we get warned by the Word of God, and we go on in our way and get ourselves in a trap. And this Bible's full, the book of Proverbs is full of instructions, of wisdom. And if an individual just had the book of Proverbs to live by and order his steps by, we'd be well off in this life if we'd pay attention and apply it to our life. And so we'll begin to just look at the sin of laziness this evening, just look at a few things, and we won't linger, but I just wanted to mention that about being surety for someone. A lot of people's got stuck because they signed a note. And they've ended up, to keep their credit clean, they've had to go back and pay that note off. And I'm speaking by experience. I did that. And I really knew better. I'd been taught that, and I'd seen that, but I didn't listen. I didn't adhere to it. And I went beyond that, and I got in trouble. Same way with people being lazy. I mean, there's a lot of lazy people in this world. Hey, there's jobs out here if people want to work. It might not be the job that someone wants, but there's some jobs that a person could make some money. But we live in a day and hour when the government is giving handouts, and people would rather have a handout and settle for less rather than to work a job and have more. Work a job where they could have more, where they could give back to God. They're always on the receiving end instead of the giving end. I've always said this. I'd rather be on the giving end than to be on the receiving end. And it's just a blessing. If a person will not be lazy, half the battle's won. I've never seen, and not all poor people are lazy. I'm not saying that. And nobody, this Bible don't insinuate that. The Bible talks a lot about poor people. God's got a special place in His heart for poor people. But most people could do better than they do if they weren't lazy. If you'll get right down to it and you find the root of the situation in most people's cases that are struggling and don't have, and in some situations, they're lazy. They're lazy. They won't work. And we find the Bible deals with that numerous times through here. I want to look, first of all, at the characteristics of a sluggard. The characteristics of a sluggard in his relationship to self. In his relationship to self. Number one, in his relationship to self, he loves sleep. Have you ever seen people? I don't know how people sleep till lunch every day. I don't know how they sleep till 10 o'clock. And not get up and go to work somewhere. The rescue mission over here, they have a place for homeless people that are not as blessed as we are and fortunate as we are. Sometimes they get hit hard by finances or something happened that's drug them down. They've got down to that place and they don't have a place to stay. We'd say down on their luck. And they provide a place. But the rule is, I believe it's 6 o'clock, they got to be out of there and they got to go to work. They can't lay around. Bro Ken and them won't allow them to lay up in there and sleep just because they ain't got a job. If they don't have a job, they still got to get out of there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I believe it is. They feed them a breakfast and get them out there and they expect them to go and look for a job. But the characteristic of a sluggard in his relationship to self, he loves sleep. There's a lot of people just like to sleep, you know. Saturdays, a lot of people sleep in on Saturdays. I can't even sleep in on Saturday. About if I sleep late, it's probably 7 o'clock. If I do even 7 o'clock, most of the time I'm up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and if I sleep past that, I'm hurting. I wake up hurting. But anyway. They love sleep. As the Bible said in Proverbs 26, verse 14, said, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Proverbs 24, verse 32 and 34, said, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You get to the point where all you want to do is sleep and you just let things go and everything will fall apart in your life. His relationship to self is always making excuses, or they love to sleep. And then they make excuses for his failure to work. Too cold. You ever seen that bunch that's too cold? You know that they can't even carry the prisoners that's in jail in the prisons around here. I understand. They can't even carry them out to work if it's the temperature is a certain degree. They have their rights. They lost their rights when they got put in the jail. And they make excuses for their failure to work that it's too cold to go out. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Hey, if you want to have nothing, just don't get out and plant a field and you won't reap no harvest. And they'll even make excuses that it's too cold to work outside today. Or it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous a job. Proverbs 22 verse 13 said, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. There's always somebody making excuses why they can't work. They get a job, next thing you know, they quit it. Oh, it's too cold over there. It's too dangerous. I used to drive for Gold Kiss and we'd go up to the freezer there on Cameron Highway. We'd carry hams up there and they'd come out and get them things. Them old boys, they'd have to go back in there in them freezers with those forklifts, and they had to wear, they were in the summertime like this, they had to wear coveralls, big old thick coveralls to go back in there. It was cold. Now, there's some people wouldn't work in a condition like that. But let me tell you, there's jobs out here that people can have, but they make excuses for their failure to work. It's either too cold, it's too dangerous, it's too windy, or it's too cloudy to do anything today. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4 said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds will not reap. They fail to complete a task. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, 27, we've all failed to complete things sometimes. But that ought not be an excuse for not working.
for not holding down a job. Proverbs 12, verse 27 said, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Some are just constantly frustrated. Some are constantly frustrated. The Proverbs 21, verse 25 to 26 said, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but righteous giveth and spareth not." So we see in his relationship to self. Then we see in his relationship to others. He talks about what he will do. He's always talking about what he will do when he gets a job. Proverbs 14, verse 23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." Proverbs 26, verse 16 said, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." He always talks about what he will do when he has the opportunity. You know, we just need to quit talking about what we will do. Get us a job and do it. And not be lazy. So we see the characteristics of the sluggard. And then we see number two, the consequences of being a sluggard. The consequences of being a sluggard. We see physical and material consequences. It causes poverty. I've already mentioned that. A lot of people are in poverty because it's self-inflicted. They just won't work. They won't hold down a job. They won't try to do any better. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11 said, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." My grandpa, I watched when I was a kid growing up, there was not a lazy bone in my granddaddy. He never could drive a car. He didn't ever own a tractor. He had mules. He plowed those mules. He'd leave out after he eat breakfast that morning, he'd go down into that bottom down there and he'd plow that mule till lunchtime. He'd come back to the house. He'd eat dinner and then he'd lay down for just a little bit and he'd go back to the field. He'd feed his mules and let them rest a little bit. But he plowed those fields because he knew if he didn't get his crop in, he wasn't going to have nothing. His children wouldn't have had anything to eat. And from what I understand, he did that all of his life. When he got the crops in, then they cut firewood. The place where we live up there, that used to be where he cut wood in there. There was a lot of stump trees where he'd cut those trees and he'd bust it into firewood. And then they'd have stove wood before they ever got electric stove. You know, electricity, we grumble about our power bills now. Hey, I'm telling you, if it's $400 a month, it's worth it. If it's $400 a month, it's worth it. I mean, they used to have to raise the windows. They didn't have no air conditioning. We come in here shivering tonight and these fans are running wide open and blowing. I mean, it's cool in here. Hey, their houses were air conditioned with the windows open. Wasn't no screens and the flies and everything else could come in. But I'm going to tell you, they worked. They worked. They weren't lazy. They weren't slothful. They put up the food in the summertime when the crops come in. They'd raise them hogs. I remember when they used to kill the hogs. They'd let it get cold weather. It don't hardly get cold enough now to kill a hog without meat running if you don't have a refrigerator or something to put it in. But they would kill them hogs. They'd cut all that. They'd make pork cracklings. They'd salt those fatbacks. They'd salt them hams down. They raised their food. They planted their fields. And they plowed the fields when the weather sometimes might not have been perfect. But they knew they had to get the crops in the ground. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 34. I was looking at that just a little bit ago. It said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." I wonder, can you look upon things and receive instruction? Do you have discernment? You know, I thank God for discernment, that He gives us discernment. Hey, that we can look at situations, we can look at people's lives that are lazy, that's not working, and that's not trying to hold down a job, not trying to provide for their family, and we ought to learn something. We ought to receive some instruction. He said he went by the field of the slothful, and then he said, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." My, my. How many times do we look in the Word of God and we read passages of Scripture and God shows us things, we receive instruction, and we just go on our way? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Physical and material consequences, it causes poverty. A person that won't work, it won't provide. Like I said, there's jobs all over Gainesville. The economy is the best it's been in a long time. People can work if they want to work. A lot of these rascals are just lazy. They're just plain out lazy. See, it causes poverty. It causes loss of independence. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 said, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." It causes difficulties with employers a lot of times. Proverbs 10, verse 26 says, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." The consequence of being a sluggard, physical and material consequence. Then there are spiritual consequences to being a sluggard. Slothfulness prevents others from hearing the gospel. I wonder why our church is empty. I wonder why this community is filled with people around here. I wonder why we don't see these pews filled. Why are we not seeing people saved? Could it be because we're slothful in our responsibilities of getting the gospel to the lost and dying world? I thank God that we're supporting some missionaries, involved with some missionaries. A missionary called me a while ago. He'd been trying to send us letters. He came here one night. We don't support him, but he's down in Florida there, South Florida, Brother Milliken. He said, "Tell everyone hello." And he had the wrong address for the church. But he said, "I believe they had 75 people saved in, 74 people, I believe it was. 70, they're seeing people saved. And they can't be slothful. They got to be doing something. They got to be holding those services. They have service on Tuesday night, I think. They had theirs last night. Have Sunday morning. They work with those migrant workers that come into Florida there, and they just come through and pass by, but they're seeing people saved because they're not lazy. They're reaching out with the gospel." The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." You know, we make excuses. I make excuses. You make excuses. Other people are making excuses. We'll say, well, it's just the day and hour that we're living in. But the Bible says here in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Slothfulness prevents others from hearing the gospel. I wonder how much witnessing we're doing. Are we putting forth the effort to witness to individuals that we come into contact with? I wonder if the question was asked, how many people have we witnessed to this week? Could we, any of us, raise our hand? Or are we just lazy? Do we don't care? Or is it because we're lazy? It takes forth effort to be able to witness to somebody. Number one, we've got to be right with God. Our heart's got to be clean. We've got to be We've got to be at that point, place where our relationship is clear and we have the power of God in our life. Then number two, we've got to read this Bible. We've got to memorize some Scripture. We've got to hide the Word of God in our heart so when we do witness somebody that the Holy Spirit can bring that to remembrance. I know there's the Roman road and all that, and nothing wrong with the Roman road if you memorize those Scriptures. Hey, but the Holy Ghost can bring things to your memory sometimes if you'll memorize and put some Scripture in your mind. I believe every one of us ought to be a soul winner. I believe every one of us ought to know enough Scripture if we run into somebody, hey, that the Holy Ghost was dealing with, they were under conviction, hey, we ought to be able to tell them how to get saved. We ought not have to wait till Sunday and bring them to the house of God. We put more effort forth to do the things that we want to do than we do to try to see people saved. I mean, a lot of times we're too lazy to pray. You know, it takes time to take out of your schedule and my schedule to be able to pray like we should. Spiritual consequences. Slothfulness prevents others from hearing the gospel. I wonder. How slothful we are in our responsibilities of getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. I've always said this, and it's sad, but if we support missions and we don't never witness to people, if we don't never go put forth the effort to invite people to the house of God, do our part, maybe do a little visiting or something, we're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. It's a whole lot easier sometimes to give our money to send somebody else, and we're glad that somebody else will go, but we're unwilling to go. When I preach to you, I'm preaching to me. The consequences of being a sluggard. Physical and material consequences, and then there's those spiritual consequences. Slothfulness. That's enough. Slothfulness prevents others from hearing the gospel. Then we see the commendation of the ant here in the passage of verse 6. Said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. We see the ant's performance to perform with efficiency. There must be a plan. Have you ever looked at ant hills and watched the ants? They've got a plan. They've got an agenda. They're very interesting to watch. They've got a plan. At first, you glance at an anthill and you just see a lot of activity. Ants are running around everywhere. But they have a plan. They're doing something while they're running around. They're around that anthill. The ant's performance. To perform with efficiency, there must be participation. As I've already mentioned. Hey, if we see anything happen around here, if we see Open Door Baptist Church get anything done for God, it's going to take participation. Just as sure as that ant hill, there's a lot of ants there. They're all participating. They all have a plan. We don't know what that plan is, but they do. They got a God-given plan and agenda of what they're to do. You take a look at the ant hill, and you won't see. Many, if any of them ain't sitting around and standing around doing nothing. Nothing. No, never. Every one of those ants have a job and no one has to tell them what to do and no one has to push them out to do it. They just automatically do it. Ants work together. They work together in harmony. You know how they're able to do that? Each one is responsible and they're so busy doing what they're supposed to do be doing that they don't have time to fight among themselves. You'll see them a lot of times. I've seen ants, they get something and start to carry some dead something to the ant hill. Maybe they be a couple or three of them be under there bearing that burden. They've all got a job and they all know what to do and they participate one with another. So we see the ants' performance. We see the ants' partnership. They said there was a quote from an evolutionist. said, on their own, each ant's behavior is relatively useless, but when swarms of ants come together, the patterns optimize naturally and allow them to accomplish tasks that should be far beyond their reach. To the outside observer, their self-organizing efforts seem to be directed by some larger force or collective intelligence. Theirs is a society that is truly more than the sum of its parts. Did you notice that phrase, larger force? That larger force is God. He created the ant and they fulfill their purpose. So we see the ant's partnership. Hey, there's solidarity. The ant colony is a community. They build these colonies, and this is amazing, sometimes to a depth of 35 feet below the ground. Now, we wouldn't know that if we didn't have people that study these creatures. It's like a city of ants. There are complex buildings with rooms and various activities. They all live together in this colony, and you very seldom see an ant by itself. They live together as a family and work together as a team to get done what needs to be done. You know, them old fire ants, man, I hate them things. You'll see them, I mean, big mounds where they... You go by and step on one of them things and see what happens. You step on that fire ant hill, and them things will start moving. I mean, they'll start coming out of the ground. They'll get busy. There'll be some of them they'll be putting that thing back together, and some of them will be stinging you. They're trying to find the source that caved in their colony, their solidarity. Then they're sharing. I mean, they share their food, their facilities, and even look after and take care of each other's young. They said once upon a time there was a pig and a cow living together on a farm. The cow was popular while the pig wasn't. This puzzled the pig. He said, "People speak warmly of your gentle nature and your sorrowful eyes," the pig said to the cow. "They think you're generous because each day you give them milk and cream. But what about me? I'm going to give them everything I have. I'll give bacon and ham. I'll provide bristles for brushes. They'll even pickle my feet. Yet not one likes me. Why is that?" The cow replied, "Perhaps it's because I give while I'm still living. Perhaps it's because I give while I'm still living." Then we see their support. There is support from these ants. Then we see the ants' preparedness. Ants don't know the meaning of procrastination. Debbie says, "I'm a procrastinator." I don't know why she says that. Ants don't know the meaning of procrastination. They don't wait till the weather turns cold before they're preparing. They gather food while it's still warm and take it into their colony. Proverbs 6, verse 8 says, "Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Proverbs 30, verse 25 said, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." So we see the ants' preparedness. They're always preparing for the winter times in their life. They don't procrastinate. We're fixing to go to Colorado, and I told Debbie and them, I said, "I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have that trailer loaded. I'm going to have it fixed. I'm going to have everything done. I'm going to have all my clothes." And I've just started. I've got all my clothes. We still got to get the trailer ready. Me and her went down there last night and started digging stuff out of the barn, the camping equipment and things that we'll carry. But we're procrastinators. And we'll procrastinate about the work of God if we're not careful. We'll think, well, when it's more convenient, then we'll start doing something. We'll start reaching out to people. We'll start trying to provide for the future of the church. I was looking at our financial report a while ago. It's not looking too healthy. It was like $6,000-something left in there. And, you know, we can't wait till that thing gets down to $1,500 to start doing something about it. We need to start thinking about what we're going to do now. How are we going to fix this situation? We've been trying to pay off this building, this property here, and we've got it down pretty good, but our finances is continually dropping down. We're going to have to prepare for these times. We're going to have to figure out why are we dropping. We were holding up pretty good. We was holding up about $10,000, $11,000. It was staying there. But every month, it seems like we're continually dropping down a little bit. So we're going to have to prepare. We're going to have to get busy. We're going to have to work and figure out, am I doing everything that I can? What can we do to prepare for the future of this church? What can we do that we can reach people and get people saved and fill these pews? What can we do to prepare for the future? The ants, they're busy. They're providing. They're preparing for the winter months. They're getting every little dead thing, every kind of food that they can. They're carrying down in there and they're laying it aside. We see the ants' perseverance, lastly. See, ants have an amazing ability to survive all kinds of weather. They adapt well no matter the circumstances and are very resilient. You ever notice how quickly they recover when you destroy one of those ant hills? They get busy working, and you go back by the next day, they'll have it repaired, usually. They immediately start to repair the damage done. Ants are not quitters. They persevere. You know, what do? Do we persevere through these hard times when we see the finances dwindling, the people not coming in, the visitors not coming? Are we doing our part? Are we persevering, trying to witness and trying to get people to come to the house of God? The ants are not quitters. Maybe that's why Solomon said, go to the ant, old sluggard. Consider her ways. See what she does. See what they do in tight situations when somebody comes along and stomps their ant hill. They get busy and they build it back. We find here that the text is not suggesting that all poor people are lazy nor their leisure is wrong. It's okay to have a little leisure time. But if we come to our work looking for an easy way out, God said, go to the ant, old sluggard. If laziness turns us from our responsibility, poverty may soon bar us from the legitimate rest we should enjoy. Laziness is a thief. It robs you of time, potential, personal progress. The person that thinks the world owes him a living may simply be lazy to work for it. On the other hand, though, hard work and diligence can save a person from the ravages of laziness. Someone said aspiration points us to the proper goal, but it's perspiration that gets us there. Hey, I don't want to be lazy, do you? I read this in a piece on Proverbs, this chapter today. It said, the wisdom found in Proverbs is soon to be very practical. It seemed to be very practical, guiding one in their own behavior, guarding one against the behavior of others, warning us against such things, surety that ensnares, sloth that impoverishes, scoundrels that mislead and sow discord, strumpets that entice and destroy through lust of the flesh. This book's filled with warnings, the book of Proverbs, and that's why it's important. Hey, read your Bible every day. Find out what God says about any given situation. Don't be lazy. Hey, if you're going to read your Bible daily and if you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take maybe getting up 30 minutes early every day. Maybe getting up 30 minutes early before you go to work. Before you start getting your shower and getting ready. Spend a little time while you're fresh and while your mind's clean. And pray and ask God to show you something from this book. I've tried to encourage you to read a Proverbs a day. It'll get you through the book of Proverbs in a month. It'll get you through 12 times in a year. And then going through 12 times in a year, there's got to be sometime or another that God's going to point something out, like laziness and the sin of being lazy. Hey, don't be a lazy person. Hey, go and get at it. Don't just wait for somebody else to do something. That's what we tried to teach you girls, to help mamas clean the house. Sons, help dads cut the yard. I've never seen such a lazy generation that's coming along. It's pathetic. Just to be honest with you, these boys, young boys that grow up, they don't know how to work. They don't know how to do anything. They don't even know how to cut grass. A lot of them. Now, there's some that do, but not all of them. But overall, most of them, all they know how to do is get behind a video game and a joystick and play computer games. And I'm going to tell you where they're headed. They're headed for Lazyville and being lazy. Don't be lazy. Be active. Be at work doing something for God. Lord, we thank you again for the book of Proverbs. Lord, we know that we're sort of scattered over this evening on the sin of laziness. Lord, we realize the importance, Lord, of pointing out these things in the Word of God about being lazy and being about your business. Lord, we don't want to be slothful in the work of God no more than we want to be slothful on the job, Lord, where we work. Lord, realize most of us treated our jobs like we treat the house of God. Lord, we'd get fired. Lord, help us to be about your work. Lord, help us to be busy, Lord, in the work, spiritual things. Lord, that we might see you do something. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts, Lord, in this latter days that we're living in. Lord, I pray that you'd fill this church. Lord, you know our needs. Help us to get concerned. Help us to get focused. Help us to get filled with the Spirit, Lord, and help us to get busy, Lord, in these latter days. In Jesus' name, amen.